Okay. We were in the middle of Simenkope Zion's Ife, actually towards the end. And we pointed out the best heter is Maka Shiyadua Shemotzi Adam. And that we possibly like, if you know the Maka is bleeding, then it is Mutter. However, there's an exception. This is a little controversial. The Tos, or so many we shouldn't say, this is sort of the last couple lines where I'm up. We call Maka Mishas Vesta Omi Shloshim Yom Shloshim Yom. Even if you have a valid maka that you can be told on, that's only all month one. But when the time of the veses comes, or if one doesn't have a veses, when the time of the onabenitis comes, then you can't be told on the maka. Why not? It's not because we're sure that she bleeds during the veses, because vestos are only drop on. And we don't assume that she bleeds, but the ever during the veses. But because the svar here in Lokin, Lotz Tamli Olam, it's just ain't the dover self, what they call in Latin reductio ad absurdum. If she is a maka, then it always bleeds. It bleeds every second, but it always bleeds, regularly. And we're told all the dominant, then she's never going to become a nida. But yet we know everyone gets their period sometimes, so that just can't be. We'll get an impossible result. And therefore, when it's time that we expect her period, then she's stuck, and we aren't told on the maka. Rather, we assume it's her period because of the special svara that, after all, she can't never be a nida the rest of her life. That's illogical. And therefore, we pick the vesas or the onabenitis, and then make her a nida. This is not. Not everyone agrees to the svara. The Beis Yosef quotes that the Rambam and the Rashba disagree. Okay, the Shach agrees that the Rashba disagrees. He's not sure if the Rambam disagrees or not. We'll mention why in a second. But let's say here we have a Maka Sheyadua Shemotzi Adam. So we're tolin ba. But Vishas Haveses or Onavenidis or on 30 days ain't tolin because of the special Svara. That otherwise she will never become a nida. This is the opinion of Tosfos and most Rishonim against the Rashba and the Rambam, according to Beis Yosef, against the Shach. The Shach doesn't think there's a right from the Rambam. Then we're told that part of the Shach's not thinking there's a riot from the Rambam is what he says, that there's two cases. It says the Shach, there's a slightly different case. There's a case of Maka She he Yodat She a maka that she knows is bleeding right now. Not just a maka that she knows bleeds. She knows, she feels her maka is bleeding right now. Okay, how common is this? I don't know. But if she knows her then, tolin ba afilu bishas vesta. And what's the logic? The logic is, if you'll say, then she'll let me come and eat it. No, that's not true. As soon as she stops feeling that the blood is coming for her maka right this second, she'll become a nida, right? So then, it's not a reductio ad absurdum, she'll become a nida someday, maybe next month when her vessus comes, and she doesn't feel that her maka is bleeding, she'll become a nida. So therefore, the principle just is that the Rashba disagrees with this principle, the Rambam, according to Beis Yosef, disagrees with this principle, the Shach denies it, he says the Rambam didn't mean to disagree in the case of maka yadusha and tziyadam, he only meant to be makel if you know it's bleeding now. But the Rambam might admit that if it's just yadusha and tziyadam, we are that were machber. The principle is you can't have a situation where a woman will ever be a nida, and therefore, if you just know it's motziyadam in general, but you don't know it's motziyadam this second, then you can be told it all the time, but not when her vestos comes, because even though vestos are drabanan, nonetheless, and really we shouldn't say she got her period, Nonetheless, she has to get her period sometime.
Okay, so these are three categories. I'll take a question in a second. I'll just mention, of course, the first category, which we spent a lot of time on last time, is a maka. She'eino yadua shemotzi adam. And this is very, as we pointed out, controversial. And we are not generally tolin ba. That's
all our discussion last time. Okay, who had someone had a hand? Yes, Elchanan.
I guess I don't understand this. So, I mean, are we assuming women like have the same maka or always have a maka?
I mean, sometimes it gets cured, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes their maka doesn't get cured. They didn't have good medicine in those days. She could have the maka forever.
I'm saying, but you still can't like use that as an argument.
You can, because it's impossible that she never become an Ida, right?
Why don't you apply normal rules of rope? Like, I feel like, you know, when this kind of like always when there's like a rope, when you go after a rope and you say, well, it's impossible that the other thing would never not happen, but like if it's a Mia, then you just, I mean, if we're told that on the Maka, so the Mila is not.
I don't know, maybe we generally do this. You have to think of good parallel examples. Let's assume we generally do this. Okay, there's some details in the Piskei Tshuva from the later Achronim about this. Like, for example, the Chavos Da says, if she doesn't have a Veses, it's not only on day 30 that we're not Tola, it's any time after day 30 we're not Tola. Because otherwise, once day 30 passes, she's never going to have a day 30 again, and she'll never become an Eden, and that's impossible. So that's a Chumra, which Jen Post can accept, not that this really comes up the Maisa nowadays. Okay, let's move on to the very end. At the very end, he says, "Ksamim tolu b'chol inyan." Ksamim are different. Okay, we'll get to, when we get to Simon Kof Tzadi, we'll see, and this is already referenced in the Piskei Tshuva, Hishkat Lama Dalet, that maybe in the first 3 days we're a little more machering Ksamim, we'll get to that. But, at the very least, during most of the time, when at Kesem, we have a special din, the Gemara says in a few places, that we're very makel. Kesem means, we already discussed in the first year, the difference between Kesem and a Re'iyah, she just finds a stain. Then we're makel in any possible Tliya. There's even a story where Rabbi Akiva was said, a woman had a Kesem, and he said, maybe this, maybe that, maybe you had like scratch that was healed, but could have gotten scratched again, and this one after it was scabbed over and bled. And she said, yeah, maybe. And he was Matahir, and he explained to students, that's because some were only Rabbanan, and they told us to be very makel. So in Ksamim, we're makel in all. For now, let's just say most of the time, Ksamim were makel in all cases of amaka, and in the Piskei Tshuva here, he brings down that in the name of the Nodu Yehuda, that even if she doesn't have amaka, even if she just has pain, which might be amaka, might not be amaka. Even that's good enough for Ksamim, because by Ksamim, any hint of something that we could attribute the blood to is good enough. So then we can be much more makel. Yes?
I thought maybe some more, for a question more precisely, don't like roll, let's say, by, like, even by milk, right? So like, you rely on roll to drink, but it's impossible that 100, like, if you drink your whole life milk, it's impossible that at one point you weren't drinking from a trefa, but most people, right, they still drink milk their whole lives, they're relying on that. We're told each time,
Correct. So I think the difference would end, I mean, this gets a little tricky. This has to do with the famous Machlokes Zimmer Schechter and everyone else in the world about drinking milk nowadays. What you'd have to say for everyone else in the world is. Elchanan is asking, how come here we say, well, really should be Tola, but then it's impossible, she'd never be an Eden. You can't get to an impossible result. But by the milk, we say, really, we can assume every cow's kosher. But really, the odds that all the cows in the factory that they mix their milk together are kosher, you know, some of them have to be treif. So how can that be? So if you don't hold like your chest and you drink milk. So, okay, there's many answers, and that really gets more into the milk than here. But you could answer that maybe the odds aren't so crazy there. After all, it could be that, you know, that all you need is 59/60 of the cow to be kosher. Could be 59/60 of the cow nowadays are kosher. You know, statistically, it's, you know, not so common, but it could be. Or you could say Derver based on Rove, and Rove is stronger, and you can even get to a situation which is unlikely with Rove, and here we're not based on Rove. Or you could say, like the Chidah, that the cows we call treif aren't really treif, and therefore it's not such a problem in the first place. Anyway, there's a lot of answers, but we're not going to get to it now. Okay, let's...
I was going to say that maybe also for nowadays, like,
if you assume, right.
That would help the Rosh beside him more against
them. Correct. Although the mice, you know, we assume that we have the derisa nowadays anyway. Okay. Sefav, Nemenesi Shalomar, and this we already discussed really. Nemenesi Shalomar, Maki Ishli Wosomakash Adam Yotzi Mena, right? This is the Gemara that it once believed Sheshiva Maka, and we started a whole discussion of Sefhei with this. We're not going to chazer that. We just add, the Ramah adds to the Mari Wael, something that is not. In the Mechaber, Chaynim Omer is barley she'ain damze b'min amakar nemenes u'tahora. Not shit she has a maka. She just says it's clear to her that this dam is not from the uterus, is not dam nida. Okay, it's clear to her that this dam is not dam nida. Even though she doesn't feel like she has a maka. She doesn't feel like she has anything wrong with her, but she feels that this dam is not dam nida. Here it gets a little tricky. The Torah Shlomim here in the Pesach Chuvin, Sukkot Lamed Vav, quote a bunch of Achronim who question this. The Torah Shlomim, the Dagmar Vav, and the Chavos Dasi quotes, who say the Mari Wael didn't really mean to rely on this. This gets very tricky because there's always two issues when someone said something, whether to believe them. Number one is whether they're being honest, and number two is whether they know what they're talking about. Meaning, are they lying and are they mistaken? So, as far as whether she's lying, a woman is namana. Say that for them, Bisurim, we even say the Safra, La, La, Atma. Of course, she's believed. Like, if she says she has a maka, either she does or she doesn't. We believe her. But over here, it gets a little tricky because even though we believe her, she's not lying, maybe she's making a mistake. Like, she says, I don't have a maka, but I know this blood is coming from someplace else and not from the uterus. Like, how do people really know that? Like, is that really something that people can know without making a mistake? So therefore, the Achronim question this, and most of the Achronim say that when someone says something, even if they're being honest, but there's not really good grounds to think they know what they're talking about, because like they're saying something that like is just hard to have a basis for, then we would not rely on this Ramah, and the Torah Shalom concludes, you have other sudden l'hakel, other reasons you make it also, you can rely on her, but generally, if someone says something, even if you know they're an honest person, but if it's not clear that they really know what they're talking about, then you can't rely on them. And in this case, the Torah Shlomo concludes, not as quoted in Pesach Chuvah, but if you look inside the Torah Shlomo at the bottom of the page, that you wouldn't rely on this woman unless you had other reasons for people also, like the case of the Mari Wael. Okay, I don't think it's very common nowadays, but you know, the principle is an important principle, that even when we trust Eid Echadem and Bisurin for honesty, for not lying, that doesn't mean they can't be making a mistake, that depends, whether they're saying something that people would clearly know, or they're saying something that it's not really clear whether people really have access to know what they're talking about. Zion. Okay, this is very Nevi'a L'maisa nowadays. Im kolzman shibodekim kol hachorin v'astokim. If a woman, whenever she checks in all the cracks and crevices, einam otzas k'som k'iv v'makom echav etzadim. Here by kesem, he doesn't mean like kesem, like in the... like we discussed with the Gimel, Kesem, as opposed to Ria, just means like a stain of the Bedika cloth. She does a Bedika with the Bedika cloth. Right, we're not talking about Tashmish anymore here. We're just talking about a woman does a Bedika. This is a very common issue, that sometimes a woman does a Bedika and, she irritates herself with the Bedika cloth. Maybe she has some sort of scratch, or maybe she causes irritation by doing the Bedika. And she has a little scratch and finds a drop of blood on the Bedika cloth. So normally, if a woman finds a drop of blood on the Bedika cloth, then she's a Nida. But what if every time she checks, she only finds on the same place on the side? Meaning, she doesn't find exactly, you know, on the part of the Bedika cloth that's next to the opening of the uterus. She finds some spot always in the same part of the Bedika cloth, meaning it came from the same part of the vaginal canal. Yesh litlo shemaka shoso tzadba. That evidence is good enough to assume that it came from a maka in that place. Right? So she does more than one medika. It's not clear, kol zman, all the time, How much is all the time? Right? 100 times? Clearly not once. So in the Shiurei Shevet HaLevi here, you know, his Shiurei Hilchos Nida, he says, really, it's not three times. Three is always, you know, in halacha, if you want to guess how many times the pattern, three is always a good guess. Well, he says, v'shas adchak, you know, you can rely on two, because it's not explicit how many times. Okay, so three, or, you know, if you're really stuck, two times, but you have a pattern that is in a certain part of the bedikah cloth. Says that means it's from a makkah, it's from a little scratch on that area, and she's not a nida. You can be told of a makkah. He says, v'kol sheginim argesh v'shas bedikah, sh'nogas v'sad amagam v'koi v'lagzas. And for sure, if she feels a medika when she hits a certain place that it hurts her a little, and when she checks other places it doesn't hurt, like a certain place and she touched it, it hurts, and then she finds it in the medika cloth in some place that corresponds to that place, then for sure, it makes sense that you could be told a bamaka, not a maka. The maka here, it means a tiny scratch in the vaginal canal.
They still need two times?
Yeah. I don't think anyone would say, well, okay, Pashas, not once. Now here, before we get into all the modern applications, there's a fundamental machlokas here, which is brought up in the Noda Behuda, which is quoted in the Piskei Tshuvos of Katan Lamed Zayin. What's the background? What's the context of this Sif Zayin? So it says Noda Behuda, Ayin B'Tshuvos Noda Behuda, Sif Men Vav, Shekos Din Zeh Sove V'Holech Ad L'El. It's a continuation of the Sif Hei and Vav. It's only talking if she starts with a makkah. Meaning she has a makkah. Oh, if she has a makkah, why isn't that good enough? Ah, because she has a makkah, but it's not Yodua Shemotzi Adam. So that's another Yehuda says. He says, this Siv Zayin is limited to a woman who already has a makkah. And if she already has a makkah in the Tzadim, just it's not Yodua Shemotzi Adam. Then, if we also have this other evidence, because you find it on the same side and two or three times, then that's good enough to substitute for Motzi Adam and allow us to be Tola. So here we have Siv Zayin. What's the case? Says the Noda Behuda, the case is Yesh La or Yadua. Sheyesh la maka, ve'eino yadua, shamaka, motzi adam. So then it's limited to a woman who's a pre-existing maka. Okay, could be a woman, but then it's very limited. You need to have previous information to rely on this kula. And what's the chiddush? According to Yehuda, the chiddush is that the you know, the kolzman mitzia kama pe'amin b'makom echad, maybe I should say mitzia's dam, right? Mitzia's dam kama pe'amin b'makom echad substitutes for yadua. But still, you have to start with something. That's the Noda Behuda. However, this is not so pashat that that's what the Mechaber is talking about. The Noda Behuda assumes that, remember, the Mechaber, this is the Mechaber. Now, he's not making it up. He's quoting Shulchan Aruch, but it's a Mechaber. The Mechaber never explicitly discussed the issue of the Ramah discussed it at great length. Certainly, by the time it gets to our pages, but the first one was at great length. But the Mechaber didn't discuss it. And nobody would assume the Mechaber requires you to do a Shemotzi Adam. And the Chiddush in Zayin is you have a Makkah that's not you do a Shemotzi Adam, but you have this pattern, and that substitutes and brings it up another level. However, the Bach says, as a Dover Pashat, that the Mechaber never requires a Makkah she to do a Shemotzi Adam. Any Makkah is good enough for the Mechaber. After all, the Mechaber just said Maka. He should have said Yodua Shemotzi Adam. That's what he meant. So if the Mechaber just needs a Maka, then what do you need this pattern for? The Mechaber needs any Maka, then what do you need this that you find always in the same place? If you have a Maka, that's good enough. Must be this even if she doesn't have a Maka. Right? So this is clearly, Al Pi the Bach, you have to say the case is that we don't know of a maka at all. You don't even know there's a maka. And if you don't know there's a maka, nonetheless, this is such a good proof that it proves there's a maka, and that's good enough for the machaber. And so that's the Ramah doesn't disagree. It's as good as a maka shiyadua shemit yadam. Otherwise, the Ramah would have disagreed. So, and the chiddush is that metzias dam kama pa'amim b'makom echad counts as a maka and as yadua shemaka motzia dam, because it's really strong evidence. Because it's really strong evidence. It could be that the Gra hints, it's a little unclear exactly what the Gra is saying here. First, the Gra says in Sukkot Yud Ches, Im v'chuli, kemo b'dikas ha-shvilferis hanal. This works like a b'dikas shvilferis. If it works like a b'dikas shvilferis, because like you're proving it comes from the sides, then you shouldn't need any background information. It works as a b'dikas shvilferis. You don't need to know you have a maka before you do a b'dikas shvilferis. That works even without previous knowledge. And it would sound more like the Bach and the Yehuda. Then in Yutes, he says, v'kol shekein. Remember, we so far have ignored this line. V'kol shekein, if she has other evidence, like she feels something. Kamosha Kosov Maka Afli Das Hamordechai Shematsu Teach Mak Kosov Tziadam Zem Ochiach Momaka Yidu, etc. He sort of associates this Kol Shekane. Kol Shekane, if in addition to the pattern of the same place more than once, she has a feeling, she has some feeling. So says the Gra, and that works even according to the Mordechai. The Mordechai requires a Maka and Yidu Shemotziadam. Two steps. Sort of two pieces of evidence. Well, over here you have two pieces of evidence. You have the fact that you find in the same place, and you also have the fact that she feels something. So it sounds from the Gra, now it's not clear. The Gra doesn't put everything together. If I just read the Gra Sukkot Yud Ches, I would think even just finding in the same place many times works alone without any background information. But then, if I read the Gra Yud Ches, it sounds like maybe no. Just finding the same place does not count as good as a maka she yadua shemit yadam. But finding the same place plus the fact that she feels something, she feels a ke'ev ketzas, a little feeling in a certain place, that is two things, and that counts like two things, maka she yadua shemit yadam. So it could be that maybe you could have a compromise. Gra, or let's just put the Gra in the middle, says the Gra implies that, mashmos of the Gra in Sifkat and Yud Tes, he says depends if you're the ratio of this Sif or the Sif of this Sif, right? If you had no background information, plus just mitzias dam kama pa'amim b'makom echad. What does he sort of imply? He implies that by saying that the Sefer Dina Mordechai, that this counts like a maka, but not like a maka sheyadua shamotziyadam. Right, that's what he implies. In the Kolshkin, works even for the Mordechai, that you need yadua shamotziyadam, implying that until the Kolshkin, it didn't work for the Mordechai. But if you have no background information, plus
Metzias Dam, Kama Mekomos, in Makom Echad, plus Ke'ev Ktsas, in Makom Zeh, then that counts as a Maka, Sheyadua, Shemotzia Dam. So let's just review. What would this mean if, nowadays, a woman doesn't have background information, right? What if there's no background knowledge? No background knowledge, and she finds, right, a few times in the same place. Then the notary Huda would say she's Asura. No, only with background knowledge this whole sif comes into play. The Bach would say she's Muteris. Even that background knowledge, this is good enough. The Ra would say, if you take the implications of your test, that sort of the Kol Shekin is coming to be Mari even Das and Mordechai. Then he would say that just the same place would be Asura, but same place plus a feeling would be muteris, right? If you like added something to the same place, that's good enough. And Rabbi Willig says, we Rabbi Willig paskins like the Gra, like this understanding the Gra that we're mechal between the Reish and the Seifa. If she doesn't have any background knowledge as to whether she is a Maka or not, all she has is she does a Bedika, and all she has, she does a bedika and finds blood that looks like it could be from a maka twice in the same place or three times in the same place. Then if she just finds twice or three times in the same place but no other evidence, then she can't be told of a maka. She's asura. That is not enough to count as a maka to do a shemotzi adam, which we demand. But if she has other evidence, other reglaim ledover, then that is good enough. And Rabbi Willig says you can, be flexible about what other evidence you take into account. It doesn't have to be the exact case of the Shulchan Aruch. This Kol Shekin doesn't have to be his exact case. It could be that she finds Dam twice, three times in one particular place of the Bedika cloth that looks like it's a scratch on the side and has a feeling that's consistent with this. When she does the Bedika, it hurts in a way that's consistent. Or it could be she has other information about a medical condition and a yeast infection or other kinds of medical conditions that would make it likely that this kind of scratch would happen. If you have, same place plus plus raglayim ledavar, meaning other information that would buttress this conclusion, that would make it make sense. That, because after all, just because she finds it in the same place twice, it could be Damnida. And maybe that Damnida happened to like fall to the same place in the Bedika cloth twice, three times. It could be. But if you have some other information also, some other sort of hint or any type of feeling or any type of background that might lead you to think this makes sense. I think Rabbi Weitzman, those who are here, always calls it a sipur. Then you can be Makel. And Halacha L'maisa, when can we be Makel on Tliya B'maka? Basically, you have two possibilities. One possibility is what we saw in Se'if Hei, which is we actually have medical evidence of a Maka. Either she's under treatment of a doctor for some terrible condition, or she goes for a Bedika to a Bodeket who just looks and finds that there is some sort of Maka, and it is bleeding, or it bleeds if you touch it, or it's irritated in a way that clearly looks like it's been bleeding recently, and that would be good enough. Or the second possibility is if she does a bedika and finds it in the same part of a bedika cloth more than once, in a way that would like hit a certain part of the studen, and she has some other evidence to like support that, to make us think that that's that possibility that it was like scratched in a certain place in the studen is more likely than the possibility that it was Damnida that just
happen to be caught, you know, in the same place more than once, then we can be makel in that case as well. Jacob.
Does it matter how frequent those 3 or 2 times happen? Like, let's say, is there a certain amount of like period of time you have to leave in between the two of the deagle?
No.
Like, if she does one and then immediately right after does it again, it's on the same place.
Yeah. Then, and she has some other, either like she
right.
feels it hurts in a certain place, or she has some, like, you know, problems she used to she had beforehand in that place, or some other information which would buttress it, then that's good enough.
Would colors help as a additional sign?
Meaning, if you see that it's a color that makes more sense, let's say you see it's a color that looks more like blood of a scratch than like Damnida, would that be good enough to count as that other information? You know, it is hard to tell from the colors. It's not so pashut, even though there are differences in colors, right? The wound blood from a scratch is a brighter red than Damnida. Damnida is a darker red. You know, maybe, I don't know, there are probably better words to express this. But what I'm saying is true. There's probably just better words if someone was like an artist or you know, someone who could explain different reds. It's a great question. All right. I'll have to think about that. Yes,
that's clarify that if you only have the second factor, right, pain plus circumstantial evidence, like, you know, then still that won't help you because you don't have any known bleeding. That's the idea. Do you mean like if you only had factor two?
Yeah, let's say you only have,
and
like,
you feel pain every time, and like you think that you probably have some condition based off some other factor, but since you don't see it bleeding right now, like, it's not like you repeatedly find blood at the same time, or you do find blood, but it's not in the same spot, we wouldn't do it on.
You know, you have to be eyeing these things a lot. You know, at a certain point, there's some like room for common sense here. You know, do you have sort of evidence that's equivalent to this? And you have to have a lot of expertise if you go to Rory Weitzman on Wednesday. So, you know, if he puts together enough factors, even if he only has one bedika, but, you know, it's clear from the look of the blood, from the color of the blood, from the place of the blood, and from, you know, the story, the other conditions, then that could be the equivalent of this sif and Shulchan Aruch. But you have to have a lot of expertise to do that if it's not the case of the Sif and Shulchan Aruch.
It's a lot of dafka, though, then, like that.
Mm?
So it's like a little bit, so it's a lot of dafka. It's only
right,
two
it's love,
after one.
If right, correct. Mean, it's a lot of dafka. This is the case that sort of everyone can rely on the Shulchan Aruch, unless you become an expert in, you know, how to add together other factors, then you could do that also. But, you know, automatically, you know, we would follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But
I was going to ask that, have the possible to do it, if it's possible to do it one time.
Right, so if it's possible to do it one time, if you have enough evidence and expertise, then it is possible to do one time, but you really have to have, you know, a lot of expertise to do that.
I was like, doesn't the girl sound like he holds that the, in this, in terms of the machaber, like the bath, that, I mean, even if it's,
yes, in terms of the machaber, he holds like the bach. But what I was going to say is, in terms of the, if you hold the machaber like the bach, the mestam of the Ramah also agrees. The grumik sound like the Ramah would also only agree if there was a kol shekin. Now you'd ask, why did the Ramah say only agree in the kol shekin? But the grumik sound like the Ramah would only agree in the kol shekin case, because that's what he says. Afla dasa Mordechai. Right? That you could only be guilty of the Mordechai as opposed to the Rashba in the kol shekin case. So that's why I said he's in between. Stama, I would have said, yeah, if the Machaber is Makel without background, so is the Ramah, because he doesn't argue. But the Gemara implies, no, the Ramah would only not argue in the kol shekin case.
And that's why Willie says that's the one.
Yes, correct.
Sfardim could.
It could be, yeah. It could be. I have to look at Ravadia, but try and pass. That would make sense, you know, unless I have evidence otherwise by looking at the Sfardi post. Okay, yes.
In terms of the bodekis, is that working through, like, nemonos, like the way we say that women are related to each other? Or do you not need to come up to that?
No, you need nemanus, because otherwise how do we know the bodek is telling the truth? So we know she's telling the truth.
It's like a non-Jewish doctor.
So that's a great question. So there's a discussion of this in the Berhetev. It's not in the Shachan Taz, but in the Berhetev at the end of Sukkot Yud Zayin, and the Pesachei Tshuva in Sukkot and Lamed. That's a great question, Ellie. What about a non-Jewish doctor or nurse? Right? After all, they don't have Erech HaNem and Bisurin. So what if they say there's a Makkah? Can we believe them? No, we don't assume that. I mean, there was some discussion of that in one of these Pesachei Tshuvas, whether one woman is Neman or another woman. Where was that? Maybe in Sifkaten Lamed Hey, this is some sofer. We assume that Nida is not Dabur Shavah Erva. We assume Nida is not Dabur Shavah Erva, and Erechot is Neman, what? And Vesafrala doesn't mean she herself, right? That is the, in Pesachei Tshuva Lamed Hey, he quotes that the Chassam Sofer, the person who asked from the Chassam Sofer said what you said. Vesafrala is only her. And the Chassam Sofer wrote back to whoever it was, I assume if you look up the Chassam Sofer inside, I'll say the name of the fellow who asked the question. He said, that's Tumuim, that's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous, you know, but it's very not mainstream. Meaning, the pashup shot is that it doesn't mean only the woman's neman and nida, be a special exercise that makes nida different than everything else. No, this is an example, maybe the makor of a necha neman be surin, but a woman's neman and another woman also, because we do have various places in Shas where we see if there's a chirshot v'katan, then another woman takes care of her helchas nida, and it seems like, unless you want to be nidcha, to make all kinds of okimtas, like we rely on her, even makom cheskes iser or something. So normally we assume that any Eidachot is Neman and Hilchas Nida, whether man or woman, etc., even for someone else. So that's not a problem. The problem is, what if the guy who has no Nemanis in Yisurim? So there it gets very tricky. As I mentioned, the Berhetev in Sifkat Yud Zayin quotes from the Shvas Yaakov and the Knesset Yechezkel that we rely on doctors because doctors have special nemanos because umen lomari umnasei because they're professionals and they wouldn't want to ruin their professional reputation. You know, if you're a doctor and you say something wrong, then besides that, people think you're unethical and they might not come to you. They might just think that you don't know anything about medicine and not come to you. So you know, you really want to be careful. Like doctors have a professional reputation. They'd be less likely to lie than a stam guy, than a stam person. So a stam person, you catch him lying, what does he care? But a doctor, you catch him lying, and you know, you put in the newspaper that this doctor gave you false medical information. And even if it's not a big deal and no one died, but still, that shows either that this doctor is dishonest, so no one's going to go to him, or that he doesn't know the first thing about medicine, and you're not going to want to go to him.
Later on, doesn't
yes, so not finished yet. So in Simchat Lamed, the Pesachei Tshuva, this is a wild Pesachei Tshuva. What does he say? He says, when it comes to the Rofim, here is a page-long list of just people who talked about this without even quoting what they say, because it's such a big, complicated issue, and he just lists like 30 people who talk about this and what's Simon. Obviously, this is a very, very complicated issue that we cannot, really properly deal with now. It becomes, you know, very lumdish and philosophical and etc. He quotes a Chassam Sofer here who says that that really there's two kinds of nemanos of Rofim. When they discover scientific laws, we believe them. So that's the scientific process. But when they diagnose a particular person, then we're only misupik whether they're telling the truth or not. Right? Because we're only misupik whether they're telling the truth or not. And he says that truth is, he says that even so this is a big issue. L'halacha l'maisa, nowadays if you get a diagnosis by a professional licensed real doctor, the minhag nowadays is that we rely on professional licensed doctors, because nowadays our doctors are very well educated in medicine and they're held to a very high standard and they have a lot of professional ethics and, you know, a lot of ways to check them, etc. And therefore, the minhag nowadays is that we rely on doctors
Even this area. Willie Poskins, if the doctor says you have a maka, you can rely on the doctor. Obviously, you know, if you can get someone who has the manas, the isurin, then that's the best. But if you happen to have a goyish doctor and the doctor tells you, not you go with the Hilchas Nida Shaila,
right.
But if you go with the Hilchas Nida Shaila, then you can't just rely on someone who's not from. Because, you know, this is a chasnida. This is not, you know, their professional reputation. Like, I didn't just go to a goy for non-from nurse and say, check me and answer Hilchas Nida Shaila, which is not medical in nature. I mean, it has to do with the body, but it's not like a medical issue you learn in medical school. That don't mean. But if the doctor gives you a diagnosis in that's real medicine, you know, that has to do with his professional reputation and professional standards, then the minhag is nowadays that we rely on the doctors. Okay, you want more eon, look up these 30 shuts that the Piskei Tshuva refers you to. You know, sometimes, every once in a while he does this, he's like, I can't possibly go into this. You know, here's just a list and you're on your own. But lemaisa, if it's a real medical diagnosis, then we rely on doctors nowadays.
Even, just to clarify what you mean by that, like if you're going to Nida Shaila, what if he knows you're only going for a Nida Shaila? Like you're a from a woman who, like or let's say his business is in helping for a woman with these things. Like, he's a dentist, equivalent. Right? Like, he knows that he works with the people from community. It's clear that it's for a need, though. You don't have to worry that they're going to intentionally mislead you.
I don't know. If okay, it's, right. You know, that's, if it's in the context of a religious question and not in the context of regular medicine, then it's really not so simple to rely on someone who's not Jewish or not from. I think when we say that, but if it's something where you're not going for a religious question and it happens to tie into medicine, but it's a real medical question, then we rely on doctors and we assume that they don't lie about medicine. I mean, it could be, but the truth is it's pretty unlikely nowadays that the doctors would lie about medicine. It's a very rare occurrence. In a religious question, you do have a problem. Doctors who are not Jewish or not from will often say, let me just tell them what will make them happy because, like, you know, what do I care? If they really need to anyway, you know, I just want to, I'm a nice person. I just want to make their lives easier. Which makes sense, you know, from a certain philosophical perspective. So that's a problem that sometimes you could have. Doctors or nurses who are not from or not Jewish just tell you what you want to hear because they think they're doing charity by making your life easier because they don't realize that they're really messing you up. But that's when you're asking for Hilchas Nida purposes. So when you're asking for Hilchas Nida purposes, then it's tricky. But if you have a real medical statement, then you can rely on doctors. So I wouldn't go to a bodekis just a paskin Hilchas Nida Shaila, you know, who asks someone who's not Jewish to help me out. And that's why all the bodkot who are special Hilchas Nida Shaila are from Jewish ladies, and they're all ladies. But if it's, you know, a real serious context, then we can rely on doctors. Okay, and then really it's complicated, and if you have borderline cases, then you have to clarify a shaila. Great. If ches. Okay, but this is a very common thing. If someone would call with a shaila, I did a bedika, and I just did a bedika, and I found a little blood, but I think it's from a scratch. I don't think it's menstrual blood from the uterus. I think it's a scratch. Then, really, the first thing you should tell them is do a bdika again, like the last one you did, and see if you find the same result. And then you could rely on the Shulchan Aruch, assuming that, you know, they felt something, or they have some other regular endeavor to help you out. Then you can rely on the Shulchan Aruch, and you can be mako, you know, just without having to go out on a limb. Ches. Yes.
You're just saying if someone calls and says that they think it's a damaka, you just tell them to do it again?
Yes. Tell them to do it again, and then, you know, you can be makel more easily. You don't even have to see it, right? If you tell someone, do it again, and you tell someone, do it again, and they do it again, and they say, oh, I found it in the exact same spot, and then you ask them, like, did it hurt you, you know, when you did a certain thing in the bedika? You know, again, they might not know if it hurt that exact spot, but they might know it hurt, like, at the part, the time that would correspond to that spot, or, you know, they have other reason to think
that there would be lying in the davar, then you could be mekel even without looking at it. Because that's the case of the Shulchan Aruch.
We pass in two is fine.
We pass in two is fine, you know, three is better, but the mice you can rely on two.
And I'd say she does three and only the other two are.
I think you can still be mekel. It's a good question. Okay, Ches. Here we have, yeah.
Based on the fact that Ahmad doesn't argue in the Chaver, does that lend support to the note of Yehuda? Is that.
Or the Bach.
Or the Bach.
Because the Bach says that just finding the same place counts as all the steps. And that's why the Ahmad wouldn't argue.
Finding in the same place takes it.
Takes
double.
It all from 0 to 60 in 30 seconds, in 15 seconds, yes. For the Gra, it's a little funny. Like, why didn't the Rambam then say, you should know, I only like the Kol Shekein part. I don't like the part before the Kol Shekein because, you know, I'm a Mordechai man. Yesh La'ayin a little. Okay, but nonetheless, you know, nonetheless, that's a good, a psak in any case. L'maisa. Okay, Ches. Imtir Tzolus Rapos. What if... Here, we're not talking about what we discussed a second ago, which is nemanus of the doctor that she has a macha. Here, we're talking about nemanus of the doctor to say he cured the roa machmas tashmish. The doctor knows medicine, he knows why she's roa machmas tashmish, and he cured it. So what if the doctor says he cured it? In Tirtulus Rapos, shor sheyiyah, now here it's funny, there are two shitas, and neither shita is that we always trust doctors. First shita is in Tirtulus Rapos, shor sheyiyah kodim shittas chazik. If she wants the doctor to cure it, it should be before it happens three times. If the doctor fixes it before it happens three times, you don't need any nemanus. It happened once, it happened twice, the doctor fixed it, it didn't happen a third time. She's muteris, because it didn't happen three times.
Well, isn't the one that you're not checking anymore? If your doctor told you it's going to stop happening, so you're not even checking anymore. Otherwise, obviously, it didn't happen again.
You're saying that there's still some reliance on the roof in here? No, I thought what the Shulchan Aruch was saying is that in Chanami there's no chiddush. And as if you want the doctor to cure her, then let the doctor cure her after once or twice, and Taka, there's no chiddush in the doctor curing her.
That's racist, please.
What?
It's like, why is
no, because it's all in contrast to, it's a lead up to the rest of the sentence. Of Allah Acher Shadiskazek, meaning there's no chiddush. Of course, if the doctor cures her after once or twice, then it doesn't happen three times. Of course, she's Muteris. And that's why I always say, you know, if really, you should deal with it after once or twice, then after three times. See, after three times, it gets much trickier. Once she's three times, she's now bechezkas iser. There are those who are misopic. Maybe you can't rely on medicine to permit tashmish afterwards, right? This is the opinion of the Sefer Chuma, the Smag, and the Smak. They say, we don't rely on even a Jewish doctor to take her out of her cheskas iser because, not because we think he's lying, right? Even a Jewish doctor we don't rely on because we think he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because how is he supposed to know if she's really cured or not? He's just speculating that she's cured. He can't know for sure that she's cured. It's just a speculation because they understood that this is the kind of thing which the doctors don't have very, very clear tests and ways to measure. It's just a matter of a feeling of the doctor, and therefore we don't rely on it. Right? So, if we're talking about... who's in charge, Chesky? If we're talking about curing her when she's Becheskes Esther, the first opinion, they said they're Masopak, but Masopak means they're Machmir. Even a Jewish doctor you don't rely on, not because of lying, because of being mistaken. And then the Ritzva, says, we're not choshish for mistake. However, we are choshish for lying, so we don't believe a Goyish doctor, but we believe a Jewish doctor. Okay, so, meaning, both opinions don't trust a Goyish doctor, and there's a machlokas whether to trust a Jewish doctor or not. However, if you have objective evidence, like she never gets a period anymore, and she doesn't have any menstrual blood at all, which must have been a very, very strong refuah, a very harsh refuah, maybe hysterectomy or something. So if she has evidence that
clearly a lot changed because she has no blood at all ever, and she's no longer, she's no longer has Damnida, then that's good enough evidence that you can rely on any doctor because you have objective evidence. But if you don't have any objective evidence, then we have sort of two main opinions about Nemanus of a Rofe for Refua. Let's go back for a second. Nemanus Rofe Lomar Shenisrapes. Meaning that he eliminated the Ramachus Tashmish. The first opinion is the Sefer HaTruma, the Smag, and the Smak that says even Rofe Yisrael is not Neman because we don't think they know what they're talking about. Now, he wouldn't say this about everything a doctor tells you, but about this, we don't think they know what they're talking about. And the second opinion is the Ritzvah. He says, Rofe Yisrael is Neman, but Rofe Goy is not Neman. This sort of, clearly this means we should try to lechachila avoid having to get into the situation because then we get in trouble. Even a Jewish doctor, according to the first day in Shulchan Aruch, is not Neman. Right? And usually the first day is more authoritative than the second day. So even a Jewish doctor is not Neman according to the first day. And a Goyish doctor, no one wants to believe. However, and therefore, you really want to avoid having to get into the Shaila because you're still getting to a Shaila. However, the Shach quotes in the Bach that this is all unless, but if there's physical evidence, then any Rofe is Neman. Okay, but you don't always have physical evidence. Give me one second. However, says the Shach here, first of all, nowadays, we can often find physical evidence because, we have, x-rays and all kinds of other things. You have to figure out what the physical evidence proves. Again, nowadays, modern-day refuah doesn't really deal so much with the Ramachal's Tachmish, so I'm not sure what would happen. But, just in general, the Shach says something, quotes in the Bach here, that what if the Rofe, he actually did this refuah previously and it worked? Meaning it's a known procedure. Right? The assumption is that the regular case discussed in the Machaber wasn't there was a known medical procedure for this. It was just he was winging it. And that's why the Rishonim were reluctant to rely on him, because in their experience, the doctors are just winging it and they don't really have a kavua way of dealing with it. Unlike most modern medicine, when they have like a kavua way of dealing with certain things. However, what if he has a kavua way of dealing with this? Like, this is the condition, and this is the treatment, and the treatment worked in the last patient. Then the Shach and the Bach say, we can rely on this. The Achronim discuss, why can we rely on it if it only worked in one patient? Maybe it should have to work in three patients, or maybe it should have to work in a patient that had three Ramachos Tashmishes, not two Ramachos Tashmishes. But Lamaisa, if one is stuck, there's room to rely on the Bach. Again, not that I think this really comes up much, but there's room to rely on the Bach, that because I don't think our modern doctors really know much about curing Roa Machmas Tashmish. Meaning, a doctor, if a woman's Roa Machmas Tashmish, the doctor might be able to tell you it's really a Maka and not Roa Machmas Tashmish. That modern medicine could do, but that's not what we're talking about here. That's what we talked about a few minutes ago. And so I don't know if the doctors really cure Roa Machmas Tashmish or not, but I don't know, probably someone would. But if it's a procedure that's known to work, then we would rely on them because then they're already basing themselves on standard medical knowledge and we assume they know what they're talking about.
That goes back to the Ritzvah. That wouldn't solve the Ritzvah's problem.
That would not solve the Ritzvah's problem, but if we assume that our doctors also have standards, etc., and this is a case where it would be part of their medical reputation, then Lamaisa, you can solve that problem also. So that's none of the Achronim disagree with the principle of the Shach and the Bach, that if this procedure worked before, then this is real medical knowledge. Of course they know what they're talking about. Of course doctors know what they're talking about, a real medical knowledge, just not when they're making things up for no reason. So if it's a real known cure, then everyone agrees. They argue about the details. How many times did he have to do this cure, or
is it enough he did this cure to a woman whose Romach Mastash was twice? Or did he have to do it to a woman whose Romach Mastash was three times? Okay,
there's a discussion, but Lamaisa says the Shach and the Bach is that if this is an established cure, then he is the Rofe is Naaman, because now he does know what he's talking about. It's an established cure. It's not just like making things up. Stop. Yes. Lechor it is, yeah, in which case we really pass like the Stam, which means that you'd be in trouble.
The Stam is just a Mesupak.
Even though the Stam is Mesupak, so okay, Yesh L'ayin in this. That is a great question. Yesh L'ayin in this?
He also said Yesh, Yesh
Mestapkin. Oh, that's true. Oh, sorry. Here he says, what did he say? Maybe I didn't read it close enough. Yesh Mestapkin and Yesh Mishamatar. Okay, that's true. Sorry, I take it back. It's a yesh mistapkin and yesh mishamater. It's a yesh omrim and a yesh omrim. Sorry, you're right, Elchanan. Thank you for correcting me. So if it's a yesh omrim and a yesh omrim, then it could be that we follow the second day, and therefore that would be more than, really, it would not be so hard to be makel.
Is it mashma that, I mean, the second half of the is talking about even after the chazata, right? The second half of the chazata?
Yes.
So is it sort of mashma that in the Chavar calls that, like, even that would, like, only be bidyevet, because, like, he starts off by saying, like, for sure, you want to get a refua, sarach shiakoden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, yesh mistafian, and what they're list, like, is that implying, like, even if you told it you're relying on it, it's only, like, bidyevet, but you shouldn't, I mean, he says, like, don't, if you want to, who would do it before you get
Yeah, I'm not sure what your question. I mean, there's all video of it anyway afterwards, you know. I think clearly that it's better to cure it beforehand. That's probably less fun to public.
Right.
Yeah, everyone would agree. Okay, test. Test the Mefurish Gemara. It's a case in the Gemara that happened if Chidua Pitom, if they suddenly scared her, enough Minachora's dam, and a solid piece of dam fell out of her when they scared her. That is a cure for Robach was Tashmish, and now even though she was Muchzik Be'isr, she's Muteris to her husband. V'im, because they had a Masora, that this means her Robach was Tashmish is cured. V'im, Chazver Rosh, her Machmas Tashmish, Fil Pam Achaz, B'yadush Alonis Rachbeis. But if she goes back and sees Machmas Tashmish even once, then we know she's not cured, because she doesn't have to be Machzik three times again. If she sees once, Igloi Milsa, that the thing that fell out of her was irrelevant. Once Igloi Milsa, that was irrelevant, she's back in her Chazak of Robach was Tashmish. Okay, so that's Alpi the strict din, the din of the Gemara, that they had a special Masora that if you scared her and a piece of solid blood fell out, she was cured, unless she saw Machos Tashmish again once, which shows that that was a different kind of thing falling out of her and she's not cured. But it was Manazeh, Imaterial de Refuazo. However, the Ramban says that we're not Mekiyim in this. And okay, they just like the Ramban says, Mekiyim Baris Damim, and the Rebbe says, not Mekiyim Shofaris, we're not Mekiyim in this cure. We don't know exactly what they meant. What kind of chorus dam? What kind of scaring her? You know, do you just have to say boo, or does it have to be more serious than that? Yeah.
Just one point. The afilo alchas is the next time, or even any time. Like, well, automatically, like, revert back to this. So let's say it's 100 times later.
No, next time.
It's the next time.
Next time, yeah. Bizman is that we do not matter based on this refuah because we're not bekiyin. However, not so posh that we're not bekiyin, especially here. It's a makom igun or a makom of shalom ba of gerushin. However, nowadays we don't rely on this, but we don't make her get divorced if you do this. Like, we give her a chance to sleep together, and if it doesn't come back, then she can stay married. So here it's just a little tricky. If we let her stay married, then what does it mean we don't rely on it? Like, we let her stay married, so we do rely on it. So there are two opinions in the Shach, what it means that we don't rely on it. I mean, the Taz has one of them. Either it says, the Shach says means we don't scare her on purpose, but if someone did scare her and happens, we rely on it. Or it means if she already got divorced, we don't let her go remarry her husband based on this refuah, but if she's still married, then we let her stay married. Okay, again, Lamaisa is not really so Lamaisa nowadays, but we end up with this compromise of, that we don't either We don't do it l'chachila. And if she's already divorced, then we won't rely on it at all. But if it happened and she's still married, she can stay married.
It's been more relevant to the last marriage.
But again, it's not really the maisa.
It seems to be that there'd be sometimes where it'd be really advantageous to try to play with the number of three. Like, if you could disqualify one of the three. I mean, sometimes it seems like no matter what, it's going to continue anyway, so we don't want to continue allowing it. But, meaning, should we play certain games with, like, you know, we discussed the rider, you said, maybe we can discount some of them because if they didn't do a bidika right before, then maybe it doesn't count because you don't know if the blood happened right before it.
Right.
So, like for the previous one, for instance, we can, like, let's say the Ritzvah, you know, he wouldn't believe a Rofa after three times, but maybe during the three times, so if we can disqualify one of them. Like, would we try to play around with things like that or not?
Yeah, but we'd have to play around in a valid fashion. For example, the Achronim write that you can't disqualify anything. You can't disqualify something just because you didn't do a bdika beforehand. Maybe the first one you could based on the raya, but certainly not more than that. And even that, only if others sub mahakel. So you really have to be ma'ayin. It would really be a tough shayla, not an everyday shayla, as to whether you could. And, you know, these would be tough shaylas. Lemaisa nowadays, we don't really get into most of these things nowadays because... A, if a woman is Romach was Tashmish, we have it checked out after once or twice, and we have ways of figuring out these things. And B, because nowadays it's really not Shchiach that a woman will be Romach was Tashmish from the uterus, from the Makor. Nowadays, it's pretty rare for a woman to see Machmas Tashmish, and if she does, it's 99.9% of the time because of the Makah in the Tzadim. And therefore, we can go and just find the Makah in the Tzadim, be told of a Makah, and take care of it that way. So we should better do that before she's becheska sister also. Makes it a lot easier. But lemaisa nowadays you don't come into most of these things. Okay, let's go to Sif Yud. This is a very, very complicated case. It starts with something that is a little like innocent sounding. Haroa dam b'shas tashmish. But a woman sees dam machlas tashmish, muteres shamish parim shniyus kishetzi tahir. We all know she's allowed to be sleep with the husband a second time after she goes to the mikvah, and a third time, and only after three times she's forbidden forever. Miu meches chashina chadazimne. However, we're choshesh once. This is the rule that we call the vesa sheino kavua. Right? If it happened once, we're choshesh once. Now, what does it mean if it happened once, we're choshesh once? Like, obviously, it doesn't mean, well, she saw through tashmish once, so we should be choshesh once that she can't do one tashmish. That's obviously we wouldn't say that. Why? Because then that would forbid her forever, and you can't make someone usher forever because the vesa sheino kavua. Vesa sheino kavua is only a chomer when possible, right? Clearly, you can't make her usher forever because the vesa sheino kavua. So he doesn't mean, well, tashmish once, so next tashmish don't do tashmish. Because then she can never do tashmish. She has to get divorced, and that's ridiculous because you can't divorce someone because of vesa sheino kavua. Rather, what he means is, if there's a certain timing for it, maybe it's what's called the vesed morkav. Morkav in modern Hebrew also means combined, right? Maybe it's only the vesed of tashmish in a certain time, so she just has to refrain from tashmish at that time. And therefore, he brings the example, and here there's different gersos in everything. Not only different gersos in the Shulchan Aruch here, but different yourselves in the Hagos Maimonides also that he's quoting. So let's see what it says. I don't know what it says in your Shulchan Aruch. You'll tell me what it says. Mechesh chashin echad izim na'achri yasa. We are choshesh once, because the vesh she'inu kavua, so we ask her once. Kigon, for example, imrasa pam achas o pamayim. What does it say in your Shulchan Aruch next? Belel shel tfilasa. Is that what it says in everyone's Shulchan Aruch? Okay, but as you well know, that some people say it should say Belel Sheni Shel Tfilasa, right? And as a matter of fact, in some printings of the Shulchan Aruch, it actually said Belel Sheni Shel Tfilasa. It's not just something made up of the Emunah Shmuel. So either Belel Shel Tfilasa or Belel Sheni Shel Tfilasa, meaning either it was the night of Tvila, and we think maybe it's the combination of the Tvila night and the Tashmish that caused it, or it's the night after Tvila, and we think it's a combination of the night after Tvila and Tashmish that caused it. Okay, the Achronim write that this is the Pesukei Tshuva at the end of Mem Gimel. If it's like the third or the two or three nights later, the third or fourth night, then that's like it can't be caused by Tvila anymore. That's too far away. Like whatever we want to say, it's caused by something. It has to be like either that day or the next day. Okay, but we'll see the difference in the Gers in a moment. Kshenagia tvila acheres sarch lefrosh leil shel tvilasa or leil sheni shel tvilasa. Right, the textual evidence before we get to the substantive logic is that on the one hand, many princes in the Shulchan Aruch said leil shel tvilasa. The problem is it should have just said leil tvilasa. Why shel? So therefore, some people say maybe you see the gears is really sheni. Okay, there's really, you know, there's no way to know for sure what the right gears is. Next time, she has to be poresh, not forever, just that one night, because maybe that one night plus tashmish causes her to bleed. But then the next time that comes around, in January, she saw in the leil tefilasa, or the leil sheni shel tefilasa. So in February, she's poresh that night. And in March, she's okay. Because any vest that's not kavua, kavu veses means vest sheino kavua, is only asr once. You don't have to asr it more than once. Okay, here we get actually a big machlokas, which I'll summarize when we get to the next sif, which is like, if she didn't do tashmish on that night, then how could she even uproot the vest sheino kavua? Like, the vest sheino kavua is that maybe leil tefila plus tashmish causes bleeding. The next month she didn't do tashmish, so she never had the case of leil tashmish, leil tefila and tashmish, so she never uprooted even once. Okay, that's a machlokas here, it's a machlokas in the next sif. We'll come back to that. But let us first figure out what is going on here. And why should it be sheni versus leil tefilasa? And this has to do with a very fundamental machlokas that I think I sort of blew off in sif dalid, which is back to Rashi's pshat. Remember we said, if she has a veses, she attributes to the veses. What did that mean? So the Mordechai had a weird pshat, or maybe didn't. The mainstream pshat was, if she was, for whatever reason, we had to come up with funny scenarios, if she was mishamish during the onus of veses, then we don't assume it's because of tashmish, we assume it's just her regular period. But Rashi had a pshat, and what did Rashi say? If there's a pattern to her roa machmas tashmish, then we don't think she's a roa machmas tashmish all the time. We think she's only a roa machmas tashmish on those days. That's what Rashi said. And maybe someone even asked, like, what does he mean? Like, does he mean, like, if she had bia, like, 30 times, and three of them were like on Rosh Chodesh, and she was roa machmas tashmish, then that shows she's only a problem roa machmas tashmish on Rosh Chodesh? Or does it mean if she only had three bias, and they were all on Rosh Chodesh, she was roa machmas tashmish, then she's only roa machmas tashmish on Rosh Chodesh? So let me just put that on the board. That's a big question, and that underlies what all these very complicated things that Chronim are talking about in this Sif. So let us just review this case. What does Rashi mean? And it doesn't necessarily matter what Rashi means, because Rashi's only one shot in the sugya. You know, but what would we hold, regardless of whether or not that's what that sugya means? What would we hold in this case, right? What if you have a veses to your re'iyah machmas tashmish, a pattern to re'iyah machmas tashmish? So what if you have a pattern to the re'iyah machmas tashmish? One case is shmizi. Right? The case that shmizi is, let's say, you have, you know, Rosh Chodesh plus Tashmish, and X means, it should be a red X, no? Means there was Dam Machmas Tashmish. And then you had Rosh Chodesh plus Tashmish, X. And then you had Rosh Chodesh plus Tashmish, X. But in between, you had, I don't know, Tes Vav Lachodesh plus Tashmish, and nothing happened. And Chaf Gimel Lachodesh plus Tashmish, and nothing happened. And, you know, Dalid Lachodesh plus Tashmish, and nothing happened. Then it's shmizi to see, you don't need a no room for a locus here, that her pattern is that Romach was Tashmish or Rosh Chodesh. Okay, but not Roa Machmas Tashmish the rest of the time. So now she's only forbidden on Rosh Chodesh.
Does it have to be three straight Rosh Chodeshes?
That's a great question. It probably wouldn't have to be three straight Rosh Chodeshes, but there would have to be no Rosh Chodesh. Like, if she just skipped Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh, it wouldn't interrupt. But obviously, if she had a Rosh Chodesh with Tashmish without seeing, then that would break it. But if she had a Rosh Chodesh of Precious, then wouldn't interrupt. So then clearly she is Asura Birosh Chodesh,
And Muteres, you know, Fishar Yomim. That's easy. And maybe that's what Rashi meant by if she's a Veses, then she only attributes it to the Veses of Roma Tashmish. The more interesting question is, what if, right? What if she had Rosh Chodesh plus Tashmish, and then took a break? And then Rosh Chodesh plus Tashmish, and she saw and then took a break. And then Rosh Chodesh plus Tashmish, and then she saw. Now here it's not clear. Do you say she's Roma Tashmish three times in a row? Or no, this is not three times in a row. Three times in a row is only a problem. Three times in a row is only a problem if there's no pattern. So here, not clear, what would we say? Would we say she's a Roa Machmas Tashmish and she's Asura Lagamre? Or would we say, no, she's only Asura B'Rosh Chodesh, but she's Muteres on other days? This is a big Machlokas Achronim. Right? Big Machlokas Achronim, you know, how do we conceptualize this halachically? What category does she fit into? Like, is this what Rashi meant? If she's a Veses, then she assumes it's only Tashmish and Rosh Chodesh? Or no, he meant this. In this case, it's three times in a row. Three times in a row is three times in a row. That is unclear. Before I show what this has to do with the Mechaber, let's just look at, for example, this exact case. Anyone remember where this exact case is discussed? In this very long Pesachi Tshuva, Sefkatan Mem Dalid, in the I don't know how to describe it. The paragraph that starts Ayinog Minchas Yaakov, five lines later than that. It says Ve'od Hemtzi, the Minchas Yaakov. By the way, how would I find the Minchas Yaakov on the page? Torah Sashlam, right? Pages of Minchas Yaakov is the most famous book, so that's like, it's like, say, the Chafetz Chaim wrote, even if it's not in the book Chafetz Chaim. So here, he was called the Minchas Yaakov, even though obviously he's referring to Torah Sashlam. So and it's right here in the Torah Sashlam, no secrets. The Torah Sashlam wrote, Dimrasa Gimel Pam Ritzufim B'yom Yadu'a L'Chodesh, Machmas Tashmish, three times in a row on a certain day of the month. Okay, he didn't say Rosh Chodesh. He said a certain day of the month, but that's my case. The Ein Asur Rekla Osu Gimel Yadu'a, he's only Asur that day. That's the shita of the Torah Sashlamim. That's the shita of the Torah Sashlamim. So, Torah Sashlamim, Minchas Yaakov, you can pick however you want to say. And all the way at the end of our simen, that's also the shita of the Dogel Merivava. I don't know if you guys have Sefkatan numbers in your Dogel Merivavas, because not. I think that's only in the version that I have. But in the 17th Dogel Merivava, the simen, you could always count. He says, if you have a pattern of Roma Chatashris, even if there were no clean Bias in between, you didn't have Bias in between, you only had three, nothing clean in between, and it made a pattern. If you saw the same 3 days of the month, or the same intervals, so the Dogel Merivava says the exact same thing. It says even if you had no clean ones in between, you just had three in a row, but if that three in a row makes a pattern, you're only also that pattern. Like the Torah Sashlamim. Yes, they are, sorry. That's what I meant. Thank you. The Torah Sashlamim and the Dogel Merivava are on this side. It seems to me this is Pashut Shav in the Shach as well. Much later in the Simon. It's talking about a woman who sees at 6 months intervals Machmas Tashmish. So the Shach of Katan Lamed Dalid says that it's not okay, not 100% clear. Maybe it's not so clear. Let's see. Alright, you know what? I'm not going to promise you anything. Let's go back to the Pesachim Mendalit. He quotes, however, that Ayim chavas da'ash hisigal abhela dosur lechol kechol bro damach tashu teino tolel etc. Gamet sidrei tara herich lach lo kalzeh gamet shuvas sam sofer kazu lechalil lo hakel. Here we have a big machlokas. The chavas das is machmer, and the sidrei tara is machmer, and the chsam sofer is machmer. So here we have a very fundamental machlokas achronim about if she has a pattern, and but there's no clean in between. Then, do we say she's only usher in the pattern, or do we say it's three times in a row, she's usher, the pattern's coincidence? You know, because the pattern might be coincidence, that's the only time she did bia. Maybe it would have happened any time. Okay, so this is a fundamental machlokas, and this also underlies this is one case of the machlokas, case one of the machlokas, case two of the machlokas, let's name the sides, right? Side A and side B. Case two of the machlokas is earlier, where you have a paragraph break in Sifchat Mem Dalet. Va'ayin od minchas Yaakov shekazal lahakal beisha sherasa sholosh pa'amim machlas tashmish kol pa'am b'leil tvilasa. The materis chakre b'leil shein yishol tvilasa ve'elech v'cholak al ha'emuna Shmuel shekazal chalil lahakal. Who's al kasav lehakel machlokas between the Torah Shlomim and the Emuna Shmuel about the following case? What if it's almost the same case? You know, just it's not based on days of the month; it's based on days of totaling. What if you have leil tevila plus tashmish x leil tevila and then nothing in between? Nothing in between because then she had to count Shivanaki and went to the mikvah. Leil Tfila. After Leil Tfila, of course, she comes home for Tashmish. What do you do on Leil Tfila? And then Ro Machos Tashmish. And then Leil Tfila plus Tashmish. Ro Machos Tashmish again. Says the, what's the din here? You have the same two possibilities. You could say here she's a Ro Machos Tashmish and she's a Sura. And that is exactly what the and Muna Shmuel says, quoting the Berhitev and the Pesachuba. However, what does the Menchas Yaakov say, or the Torah Sashlomim, we'll call him, says the Torah Sashlomim, no. He says, no, look, she has a pattern. She's only Ramachas Tashmish on Leil Tfila. Therefore, she is Asura B'Leil Tfila. So, meaning, when she goes to the mikvah, she's not allowed to sleep with her husband that night. But she can sleep with him the next night or any subsequent nights, right? Muteres, right? Mi leil sheni ve'elech. So every time she goes to the mikvah, she has to refrain from tashmish on the mikvah night, unlike the normal mitzvah zona, because that's her pattern. But the next night or the night after, whenever she's in the mood, she can engage in tashmish. And this is the shita of the Torah Sashlomim, who holds that we go by the pattern. Yep.
Is it machmas the tefila, like,
no, here they seem to say it's machmas the tefila.
So
that seems to be the assumption.
Even doing tefila shalvis mana would
not help. Aha, so that's a good question. Like, is it going to the mikvah or, you know, going to the mikvah after Shiva Nikiyam? Lechora, here we mean that it has to be going to the mikvah after Shiva Nikiyam. That's the pashup shot in the affirmative.
And is this considered best tagut?
And, yes. Yes. Now, the third nafkamina is going to be a little backwards, so you'll have to try to hold on to your hats here. What about? Here's an interesting question. What about a woman who sees? One second. Yes. What about a woman who sees leil tevila? Or, here it's going to be a little trickier. What about a woman who sees, that's good. Leil Tfila. Plus Tashmish once. What about a woman who sees Leil Tfila plus Tashmish once? Now, this is not exactly the same case.
This is not exactly the same case, but let's think about it. For a second, I got, by the way, the Dagal Mirvava here, right here, Alatar, also says the same thing he says later on. Shem Shalosh Pa'amim B'Leil Tefila B'Laila Rishona Muteres Tamid B'Laila Shela Achrav. Okay, this is the Dagal Mirvava here. And L'shitase, he's always joining. This is count tes, or just count the ninth. This is the 17th. He's always joining the Torah Sashlam. And that's the Dagal Mirvava right here. Now, here comes a little bit of a tricky one. It's parallel. I think it's L'shitase, but it's a little tricky. What if she's had once a L'leil Tefila plus Hashmish? Then, what's her Vesa She'enu Kavua here? So there are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is she now has a Veses She'enu Kavua L'leil Tefilasa. You just go by the pattern. And therefore, what's the rule? She's Asura Pa'am Achas V'leil Tefilasa and Teres Acharkach. Right? However, here it gets a little trickier. What if you said, no, we don't go by the pattern. Now here it's tricky, because you can't say, she's just a Ro'a Machos Tashmish and Vesa She'enu Kavua She'enu Asura forever. Because then she'd be a sort of forever. So let's think of what the pattern would be here. The pattern would be, what would the pattern be here? The pattern here would be that it was the Veses She'enu Kavua. What's the Veses She'enu Kavua? For every Tashmish? Okay, but then it would ask her forever. And you can't ask her forever because of a Veses She'enu Kavua. Or maybe you could say for every first Tashmish after Mikvah. But that would also ask her forever. Right? So this would be a Veses She'enu Kavua for every Tashmish. Or Le, even if you didn't want to say for every Tashmish, okay, let's say it's combined. But you wouldn't combine only in the narrow pattern. You would combine it as broadly as possible. Le, be a Rishona Achar Tvilasa. This is the famous Chomer the Amunah Shmuel. It's a Veser She'enu Kavua for the first Bia after she tovels. Now, what would that mean? That would mean that she can never sleep with her husband. But that's impossible, because she can't be usher to her husband. She can't be usher to her husband forever, and therefore, what would be? It would be that if we, let's say it a little better, it's a Veshe'enu Kavua for the first Bia after her Tefila, or for every Bia, for that matter. Meaning there's no, but let's say the first Bia after her Tefila. And therefore, she, would be Asura forever, because she can't do the first Bia after her Tefila, she can't do any Bia. But she can't be, because it's not a Veshe'enu Kavua. And therefore, says the Amunah Shmuel, she is Muteris Legamri. And therefore, she is Muteris Legamri. That's the Amunah Shmuel, right? The Amunah Shmuel says, this is the Shita of the Amunah Shmuel, and this is the Shita of the Torah Sashlamim and the Taz. Says the Amunah Shmuel, he says, no, we don't interpret only the narrow pattern. We try to broaden as much as possible. So this is the parallel. One and two are equivalent. One and two are equivalent. They're really just the same thing with different patterns. This is a little different, because here it's not a machlokas being always at a pattern, being a broader pattern and a narrower pattern. But The Emunah Shmuel says shooting Muteris forever. Therefore, what did the Emunah Shmuel say? In this case, where it's a Leil Tefila plus Tashmish, you'd have to broaden the pattern and say first Tefila after Tashmish, she Muteris forever, and therefore, paradoxically, the Chumrah becomes a Kula, because if a Ves She'ina Kavu would make you a Sur forever, we just ignore it, because it's only in a Kavu, and we make you Muteris forever. But can't be. But we can't be so machmir in a vesis she'eino kavua, and therefore we're matu legamri, and that's why the Emunah Shmuel said we have to be goris leil sheni. That's why he was the main person behind leil sheni. The Torah Shel Shlomo says, look, if it was just because of linguistic reasons, maybe he's right, but the halachic reasons don't make any sense, and therefore says the Emunah Shmuel, the case in the Mechaber must be Leil Sheni Shel Tefilasa, or whatever the lashon was, Leil Sheni Shel Tefilasa. It must be, meaning she'd be on the first night without blood, and be on the second night with blood. Then we say maybe it's the second via after, it's the second night after her Tefila. Okay, this is a very complicated Emunah Shmuel. Enachnami. it's a very complicated Emunah Shmuel. One second.
I'll just speak. Could you just clarify that?
Yeah. One second. If we say the Iker Machlokas here is, here we interpret the pattern narrowly. Here we interpret the pattern broadly. Narrowly, broadly. Now here is a bit of parallel. Do we interpret narrowly the Leil Tefila, but she's permitted the second night, so she's not the first night, permitted the second night once. Or do we say no, we interpret it broadly. That's what Shmuel says. Why interpret it narrowly as the Leil Tefila? Interpret it broadly as first Bia after Tefila. And if it's first Bia after Tefila, then she's not allowed to have the first Bia after Tefila once, which means she can never sleep with her husband. And paradoxically, that's such a big chumrah that it becomes a Kula, because she can't be usher her husband forever, because of Ves She'ino Kavu, and therefore she becomes Uteris. And therefore he says it would be Leil Tefila, she'd be Uteris, and that's why he's Magi in the Mechaber, says it has to be Leil Sheini Shel Tefila, because Leil Sheini Shel Tefila must be attributed to the night. Apparently, he thinks there's no such pattern as second bia after tefila, only second night after tefila, and therefore she just has to refrain on that night.
According to the Torah Shlomo and the Taz, in this case, even if it's narrowly that it's only the first night, but don't you still need a tashmish the first night to be okay with that?
So that's a big machlokas. That is a big machlokas. That's a discussion of the Pesachim Tshuva of Katan Chav Gimel. But you know what? Maybe you'll forgive me if I save this for the next sif, because it's going to be the exact same machlokas in the next sif. Okay, so this is a very complicated Emunah Shmuel. These two machlokas, I think, are much more straightforward, and this is in the Pesachim Tshuva, we've got Mem Daled, both of these. This is really summarized in the Torah Shlomim Chav Tes and the Pesachim Tshuva Mem Aleph, and the someplace here we have the Berhetev, wherever he's hiding. Yeah, the longer Hetev Chav Daled, where he deals with this at great length with this Emunah Shmuel. And what does the Emunah Shmuel says? He says, if it happens on Leil Tefila, then we don't think it's Laila Rishona. We think it's Bia Rishona. And therefore, we should Aser all Bia Rishona. And if we Aser all Bia Rishona, then she's usher forever if it's kavua. And if it's ain't a kavua, she would theoretically be usher forever, but she can't because it ain't a kavua, and therefore she is, and therefore, yeah, the whole Emunah Shmuel, you could look at this part of the Emunah Shmuel, the last paragraph, Ber Hetev, Chav Daled, and Therefore, the chumra is if it happens three times, she's a surer forever. If it happens one time, she would be a surer forever, but she can't be, so she's muteris forever. And that's why he adds the word sheni into the mechaber. Okay, that's the mechaber here. Now let's see if we can figure out the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Im rasa shlosh pa'amim kol pa'am b'biya rishona sh'achar t'vilasa asur l'baylak ila rasa shlosh pa'amim rit sufim. If she sees three times the first bia after tovaling, then she's asur to her husband as if it was three times in a row, because yefshalit bol shamshu ashiro kol pa'am achar t'vilasa. Meaning, she's koveya veses for three times, for first bia after tefillah. This is where the English law got the idea from. First bia after tefillah plus tashmish. Or rather, for the first tashmish after tefillah. That's the first part of the Ramah. Now, what does he mean by this lechur? What he means is, if three times she saw in the first bia after tefillah, even if she violated the Isser Nid and had other bias in between, which were clean before her tefillah, nonetheless, she established a pattern of first bias after tefillah. This is controversial. Let's just... First line in Ramah. Let's see if we can squeeze it in here. What happens? She is a pattern for three first bias after tefillah. For three first bias after tovling. And, says the Ramah, she's a pattern of three first bias after tovling. The, three times first bia after tevila is she now, what vesis does she have? She is a vesis of first bia after tefila, which means she's forbidden to her husband forever, right? She has a, even if there were clean, you know, let me put this on the board a little better. Ready? Now, we're going to have to get a little unpleasant here. Because how could she have any bias in between the first bias after tovling? After all, she doesn't have any bias until she tovels again. So you have to say maybe she had some usher bias in the middle. But let's say you have this case. You have bia rishona achar tvila, and there's romachos hashmish. Then she had another bia, and there was nothing. Then she had bia rishona, achar tefila, and romachos hashmish. Then another bia, nothing. And then she had bia rishona, achar tefila, and hashmish. Says the Ramah, this is just as, now, again, how does she have those bias in the middle? If it wasn't after tefila, it was before tefila, then she's been misbehaving. Okay, well, let's say that happened. Or you can have some other maybe weird scenarios if you're clever. Yes, the Emunah Shmuel, this is not Lashitas, the other Emunah Shmuel, uses this to explain the other line that Ramah says actually she could have, right? She has multiple bias in the night and she'll be checked in the morning, which you're allowed to wait to check till the morning, so you actually could have that happen. Very good. So you could have this happen to Hector, actually. First night after tefillah, she had two different cloths, and then in the morning found the first cloth was a problem, the second one was clean. And, okay. In this case, says, what's the case, how would you characterize this case? Would you say there's such a category, like the Ibn Shmuel had us believe, and other applications, as, like, is there a pattern here or not? Now, here's what's tricky. I mean, there's a pattern to everything, right? If you're good enough at math, you can actually find a pattern for everything. You know, it's but not all patterns are halachically recognized. Do we recognize the pattern of first bia after tovling or not? We know we recognize the pattern of first night of tovling. That's in the mechaber. So says the Ramah here. that, one second, the, here I am. The, says the Rama here, she is now has a veses of roa machmas tashmish bibia rishona shela achar tvilasa. But let me just let me add something here.
And what can you do about that?
And which means, what does that mean? That means v'lachein asur liola, right? Because she can never have the first be after she tovels, so she's not allowed to be before she tovels, and she's not allowed to be after she tovels. And if she never has the first be after tovelling, she can't have the second be after tovelling. So she's a sur forever. Basically, she's like a roa machmas tashmish. However, just one second, not everyone agrees. Let me see where this is a good, Yeah, the Taz says that, he agrees with the Rama, but the Shach and let me just express this very clearly. I apologize if it seems like these Dafka, these Sifim are very complex, because they are. The Chavos Das interprets in the Taz. This is the Chavos Das pshat. Okay, so this is not. Let me say this better. The pshat in the Rambam and the Taz say this is what it sounds like. However, the Chavos Das disagrees. Okay, he's based on a diuk in the Shach, which is not such a strong diuk. But the Chavos Das, this is put in the Pesachei Tshuva Mem Dalet, Ayin Tash Kasa Tafilo, Yim Mufling Leil Tvilasa, Kav Vesel, Vi Rishonu Shachar Tvila, Tvila Avra, Vashim Shakodim, Tvila Vila Rasa, Kav Vesel, Vashul, Vasham Shachar Tvila, Kasa Chavos Das, Vazas Shach, Nira Dimuteres, Vichain Iker. Right? Says the Chavos Das, I'll pee the Shach, it's not so much in the Shach, I'll tell you the deep in a second. He says, no, in this case, there is no such recognized pattern. There is no such recognized pattern in this case. And what would the din be in this case? The din would be not Ritzufim. She saw three times not Ritzufim. And the din would be that she is Teres. Because it's not Ritzufin. We don't recognize this pattern of first night after, of first Bia after Tovli. We don't recognize this pattern, and therefore, she's Muteris Legamri. What does the Rambam mean? So he says, the Rambam meant, basically, he's going to turn the Rambam into not really much of a chiddush. According to the Chavos Das, the Ramah just meant the following case. Bia Rishona Achar Tvila. Bia Rishona Achar Tvila. Bia Rishona Achar Tvila. X, which is three times in a row. That's all the Rambam meant. Now, okay, this is a little dachuk, because if that's all the Rambam meant, then, like, what's the big deal? What's the Rambam telling us? It's,
That she didn't have relations in the middle when she was through.
So, okay, let me say it actually a little better. What does the Chavos Da say? Does the Chavos Da say because then it's too pashat, right? But let's say this a little better. I'm sorry. The way he reads the Rambam, because he has to be a finish, is that you have Leil Tvila plus Tashmish, and then Leil Tvila plus Tashmish, there has to be a finish. And then Leil Tvila plus Tashmish, X, nothing in between. All the Rambam meant was don't say she's only a sort of Leil Tvila, like the Torah Sashlam of the Dogomir Vava. She is Asura forever. That's all the Rambam meant. And all the Rambam meant is, you know, La'afuke mi Torah Hashlamim and Dogel Mervava. So there's two different ways of reading this case of the Rambam. The Chavos Das, based on the Shach, because what does the Shach say? The Shach says, the Rambam says, it's as if she saw three times in a row with Tzufim. He says, it's as if she did an Aveira. So, if you've been Shach, hold it, it's as if she did an Aveira, means the case is not that she did an Aveira. Just compared to a case of an Aveira. If the case isn't that she did an Aveira, it can't be this case. So it must be this case. And here's where the Chavos Das gets the mocker of his Shita. I didn't put him here. But that's this Chavos Das. So here's the Machlokas. Let's just chazer. What did the Rambam mean? According to the Taz and the Pashup Shad of, I don't know what's Pashup Shad of the Rambam. Let's just call it the Taz, right? Go figure out what Pashup Shad is. I really think Pashup Shad is like the Taz, but I'll let you think whatever you want. According to the Taz, the Rambam means you had three first time after tefillas and clean bias in between v'isser. And the Chiddushes don't say it's considered not Ritzufim. It's Ritzufim of a pattern of first time after tefillah and she's a sort of forever. Chavos Das says, no, that's not a pattern. There's no such pattern as first time afterwards. I know the Imun Shmuel assumed there was, but the Taz assumes there isn't. There's no such pattern as first time afterwards. Rather, says the Chavos Das, it just means she saw three times in a row. She saw three times in a row with the Chiddush. The Chiddushes don't say, like the Torah Shlom, Dagum Erevav, that she's only a sort of Leil Tefila. She sees three times in a row, she's a Surah forever. that's the two ways of reading the Rambam. Yes?
Let me, according to the first Pashat, if there's some way that we can either draw blood and simulate a first Tash or something like that, like if there is dilator Ferris, then
yeah, the problem is that the Achronim write that, that's a good question. Like, is the Shoferes really the same as this? Like, could you do the Shoferes test instead?
Or leaving like, it each time, and then therefore, the every show that happened.
Ah, that's what you mean.
Meaning she's only rogue.
Now I understand what you're saying. No, I think they assume not that way. They assume that we're not sure exactly what happens, but that sometimes you need the other aspects of the Bia also, not just the purely spatial aspects, and that we would not rely on that. Because, you know, there's many aspects to Bia. Okay, so here's the first line of the Ramah. Again, just two ways of reading it. The Taz reads it this way, and then the Chiddush the Ramah is that there's a new pattern called Bia Rishon Acher Tvilasa, which was the assumption of this Emunah Shmuel down here. And the Chavos Das reads it this way, and the Chiddush is that we don't attribute it to Leil Tvila like they would. Rather, we attribute it to Romachus Tashmish like that. Yes?
What was the date in the Shach?
The Shach says that the Ramah says, as if she saw three times in a row. So what does the Shach say? As if she did a Bias Aveira and saw. The Diuk is, it's as if she did a Bias Aveira, but the case is not that she did a Bias Aveira. What's of come? Kilo mark ilo aver rasa shalosh pam ritzufim below tefila. Is that what you're reading?
I don't have that.
It's what do you have in?
I have kilo mark aver b'shem shalosh pam rasa. Dino ilo rasa go over to tefila. My book is reading.
Why did I get
the wrong one?
There's different gerusas. We have a footnote here saying it's like tukan apiyagasa shach beluachat ikunim vayinu neshmuel simin
Okay. Thank you. Okay, you're right. Okay. According to your Gerson, the Shach, which is based on the Shach's second edition. Then it's explicit, not like the Chavos Das.
Right.
So this is really, he really doesn't have a lock with the Shach. I apologize. I have the first edition of the Shach. Now, unless you want to say that was the opinion of the first edition, but you're right. Shach in the second edition wrote like the Taz. So this is clearly the Shach version 2. Shach V2, 2.0. Shach 2.0. Clearly said like the Taz. Thank you for that.
Was Taz based off of the Shach?
What?
Was he only using the Shach, or he was like...
I think he thought so anyway, but, you know, hard to tell. Now we have the very complicated Ramah. Yes, thank you. Okay, this Ramah, truth is you could spend a year on this long Ramah, that's the rest of this if. And do you see how long, like, the Dekudas Kesef is, for example? Okay, but I don't want to spend a year on it because it's, you know, it's really very detailed and not really Lemaisa, and even the principles behind it are not principles that are relevant to Lemaisa. So what I want to do is just spend 5 minutes, like if you didn't see all the Nosei Kelim, you know, on the Ramah and the rest of Sif Yud, you know, you might want to decide to just move on, depending on your own personal schedule. But he says something complicated. Let's see what he says. And this is all based on this tshuva of someone named Rabbi Yonasan, right? He says, if it happened to a woman, three times, she was Ramah Tashvish, the first Bia after childbirth. If anyone knows anything about childbirth, it causes a certain degree of trauma. And it could very well be that it causes some makah to the tzadim, sensitivity to the tzadim, after childbirth. So maybe the three times, or who knows? But three times, the first Bia after childbirth, she bled. Okay. Oh, Rasa Akhbalik is Sholosh Pahman. Or after each Leda, she saw three times Ramachos Tashvish. Ubein time, Lo Rasa. But in between Ledas, I mean, she doesn't give birth every month. In between Ledas, she did not have any Ramachos Tashvish. Ye Shekos Vulahakala Tir Lapala. You would think she's a Shur to her husband, but Taka, she's really Uteris to her husband. He Talin on her Ia Bichul Shasha Adayim Mikoch Ledasa. Because we assume that this re'iyah is because of the weakness of that part of her body, because of the leda. Shehukat sudden kocha leda. There was trauma to the tzadim to the leda. L'chein ro samach leda v'lo charkach. And it's suspicious. She only sees next right after leda, not otherwise. So it's clearly trauma to the tzadim of the leda. Not clearly, but probably trauma to the tzadim to the leda. Not a real re'iyah machos tashvus of blood from the mucker. Because en kvar avar v'shim shem and ledos v'shonos. And that's only true if she violated and was Rishamish between each of the earlier births. She hopes to be a Shal Heter, a Shal Isser. She had Bias Heter after Bias Isser. While in Rasa, Shalosh, Ba'amir, Ritzuv, Machaleda, Lotalina, Beleda, Elatri, Chabadikas, Hash, Foferes. But if she just had one baby and saw three times in a row, then we can't attribute it to the Leda, and she's just a Surah forever. If she violated Allah and did Tashmash afterwards and made a pattern, that's a different story. But right then, she's just a Surah. So let's see the two cases here in the Ramah. What are the two cases in the Ramah? You got this board, right, Jacob? The first case is a little easier. What's the first case in the Ramah? The first case is that she had Leda 1 and 1 Ramah was Tashvish and then clean Bios, right? Which is perfectly okay. I mean, she only had once, right? She's allowed to stay with her husband. Leda 2, 1 Ra Machas Tashmish, and Queen Dios. Right? Leda 3, and 1 Ra Machas Tashmish, and Queen Dios. L'chora, this case, the easiest way to describe this case, although, not so clear, but the chora, l'chora, this case would be, and then she had Leda 4. What would be your havmin and aser her? She's mochsa because Ramach was tapped for shifter later, right?
Once. Or
three times?
One.
No, I mean only the first time.
Only the first, right. But if she can't do the first, she can't do the second, right?
The havamina is that she's asura midin roa machbis tashmish bibia rishona achar ledasa.
Right? Kamash malan, it's because the maka that tzadim.
Kamash malan, it's just because huku hatzadim.
Okay, that's an easier case. What about the case of the three times in a row? So here, you have a big machlokis between the taz and the shach, even though the taz has to mend a little. What about the three times in a row?
So, let's just summarize the Shach and Taz. We won't even bring the Bach here. How does the Shach read this case?
The Shach reads this case, says the Shach,
right? This is scenario one. What is scenario two? Something about three times. So says the Shach, Leda 1, Roa Machmas Kashmish times 3.
And now, says the Ramah, she's Asura, right? But then she had clean Bios
Bisser, right?
She should have been Asura to her husband forever, right? She had clean Bios Bisser.
And then Leda 2, Romach Vestashmish three times, and then clean Bios Be'eser.
And then the Kudat HaKesef, he really divides this into two different scenarios. You could say the scenario is
Leda 3, and then Romach Vestashmish three times. Or you could say the scenario is, and he has two possibilities in the Kudas HaKesef, Leda 3, Romach Vestashmish three times, clean Bios, which were Be'eser, or clean Bios, let's just say, and then Leda 4.
And either way, what's the Havamina?
Here is, the Havamina is Asura Midin Romach Vestashmish Regil.
Regular Romach Vestashmish. She just had three in a row. Right? If she just had three in a row after one Leda, she'd be a Romach Vestashmish. Right?
And now she's Asura. Now she is. Right? She was Asura after the first Leda. She was Asura after the second Leda.
But once it happened three times in a row, now it's a pattern that it's connected to the Leda. And therefore we say,
Hamash Malan, that is because Huku Hatzdadim, and just like
the last, and we see, look, three times it happened, three times after Leda. Obviously, it's only because the Leda does not cause Hatzdadim. Or you could say it's this case. Yes, because it's Maka. Yeah,
Muteris. Or you could say, Havamina, she is Asura Midin. Ra machmes tashmesh bibios rishonos achar ledasa, and then kamash malan the kula that it's only because huku tzadim.
And the shach scenario, she in the shach scenario, in the shach scenario, she did navira in between, right? She did navira in between. Says the Taz, he doesn't like this kula. The Taz doesn't like this kula, so the Taz has a different way of reading the scenario, and he emends the Ramah to say she didn't do an Avera. There's also Bach, sweet. Very specific what to do about the Bach here. But, let's leave that. Was it? Yes.
Was it clear from the Shuba that it was a Shul Isser? Am I wrong about that? Like, I thought he said that I will enter the Shul Isser of Hector for Abagad Rav Achar Kach Shul Isser of Shul Isser.
Right, he says so far in the word Avra doesn't belong here. The Taz says. In the Ramah. Did Rabbi Yonason have the word Avra?
Okay, I thought he did.
Okay, says the Taz, what happened? You had Leda 1, and then you had Romach was Tafshish, Gimel Pe'amim, Lo Ritzufim. And therefore, it didn't create any Yisra her. Leda 2, and then you had Romach was Tafshish, Gimel Pe'amim, Lo Ritzufim. Leda 3, and then you had, now here it's, okay, seems to be a little bit of a difference between the Taz and the Bachel. So the Taz, Romach was Tam Shmesh Gimel Pa'amim Lo Ritzufim. And then you have Leda 4. And then, basically, it's the exact same as this case. Right? The Havamina is she's asura midin romach v'stashmish bibia rishona achar leidasa, because each time she saw the first time and then a few other times, hamash malan that it was huku started them. So he says this is not a case of three times in a row. Why? Because he thinks if you actually had three times in a row, you would have to be machri. You couldn't use this rule of who could study, right? Says the Taz, because if she had an actual three times with sufim, then you can't be makel to say who could study. Then that is more chummer, and you couldn't be makel to say who could study. Okay, this is really a little bit of the tip of the iceberg, but I think we'll leave it for now just because, you know, we do have to move on, and this is very, very complicated. In addition, by the way, in the Pesach Chuvus from Katan Vav, quotes from the Sidri Tara and the Chavos Das, quotes from the Sidri Tara and the Chavos Das, that this cool of who could start is only to make her not get divorced. She still needs to have a kiyum. Okay, again, this is really not so relevant nowadays, just different ways of reading the Ramah. He has to erase the word Avra, erases the word Avra. He thinks that it's so for the Ramah.
I didn't find it in there.
Okay, then the Taz is not crazy. I mean, the Shach thinks he is, but not that crazy. And maybe we'll leave it for now. Okay, we still have the last line, maybe if you would, but we'll pick up with that Amir Tashem next time. We will not have Shir on Sunday. We'll have Shir Amir Tashem the next Shir on Tuesday.
Wouldn't this relate to whether or not you could erase? Like, wouldn't that be enough?